It's really nice to have the whole family here. We are a family church, so that is really great. Yeah, and thank you for your message. I really enjoyed it myself. This morning, it almost feels like the 15th of December. Many times, you know, when the church looks like this, I know it's the last Sunday before everything in Windhoek almost shut down and closes. But I think there's something special to it, and that's where Ronald was right, you know. Just because we aren't 100 or 150 like many other Sundays, you know, it doesn't mean God isn't here. It doesn't mean God is not, we are sitting here, that we aren't important to Him, or that He doesn't want to deliver a message to us. Or in the week, you know, I want to preach the sermon over again sometime, because I really feel God is saying it to us as a church, and it's something important that I feel that the Father is showing to us. So from my side, you know, I just didn't went and thought, okay, I'm going to print out two verses and share it with you guys, and maybe rather focus on the coffee or the cookies afterwards. No, there's something that God wants to tell us, and I really trust that as we were praising and worshiping this morning, you know, that we could tune into that frequency of the Holy Spirit. I remember about 10 years ago when I got born again the first time in my life, I remember the person that was the small group facilitator, he shared about a few things, and God said this to him and that, and I thought, like, what do you mean? I never got that in my life. You know, and then he used the example, many of you will know there's old block radios, some of us, maybe our grandfathers or somewhere at home, maybe the kids are playing with one, but those old box radios, you know, these days we've got iPods and all the small things in technology. But you know, they had this turning knob, you know, and you had to turn it, and then it made such a sound like until you get to the right place. You know, and I just felt I have to say this morning, you know, we need to do that tuning as well in our own lives. And many times there's many voices and fear and many things in our lives that's ministering to us. Things that say you will never be able to do that, or you are not good enough, or you're not beautiful enough, or whatever it might be. But we must tune those things out of our spiritual system to a place where our receiver can be where we hear God's voice. And this morning I'm going to share a little bit on obedience, and I really feel this is what God is saying to us. It's a word that came out in intercession on Tuesday morning, and I really feel it's for us for now. And you know, we as individuals, we need to be obedient to what God is saying to us, but we as a church, we also need to be obedient to what God is telling us. You know, and it was so, I always feel it's easier to preach this sermon after we praise and worship, as if we were not to praise and worship. Because there was just something here of God's presence. And I guess we can ask ourselves, so why do we need to be obedient to what God says? I mean, I can just do my own thing. And yes, I guess we can. But as I'm going to show you from Scripture today, there will be consequences. You know, God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Father, we are the children. And you know, Jesus is the head of His church. So we need to obey what the Father says to us. And there's such a precious thing. You know, many of you here this morning, you are parents, and you will know sometimes a smiley face from our kids aren't good enough. You want obedience. Do that and do it right now. You know, we expect that from them. And many times when they don't obey, we need to deal with that. There's an awesome opportunity for parenting then, or a place where we can coach our children and teach them, listen, this is why we need to obey. There's a blessing in that. And in Deuteronomy 13 verse 4, we read, and it says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice. You shall serve Him and hold fast to Him." Now, the way I understand this, it's not an open-ended thing, you know. It says, "You shall," you know. And it's something we need to grow to in our lives. Because when we just live for ourselves, we live from a place where you can basically do what you want to do, whenever you want to do it, as long as you can afford it. Amen? You know, you can't just fly to the USA if you can't afford it. But if you can, I guess you can just do it. But there's a place of obedience where we first go to the Father or go to the Holy Spirit and listen and say, "But Lord, I want to do A, B, or C. Is this in sync what you have for me, for my life, for my small group, for my church?" You know, and as a Shofar Christian Church, I really believe that prophetic obedience is one of those cornerstones in our ministry. You know, like they said in the Old Testament, Lord, if you don't go with us, we don't want to go. You know, and we are here this morning because it was a season where we had to go. And that's not what I'm going to preach on, but I believe this word needs to settle in our hearts. And I want to share the scripture the Holy Spirit gave me during the week. It's from Jonah. And I want to read to you, it will also be up there, from Jonah 1:1-3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went on board to go with him to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And this is amazing. I was reading this Tuesday morning. I took some time out and prepared a sermon, prayed it through. And you know, there's so much locked up in Scripture. That's why we can spend a lifetime reading through Scripture, praying through that. And we'll never ever run out of sermons. We'll never run out of examples. And you know what I really enjoy about Scripture? It doesn't try and paint us a perfect picture of this man called Jonah. It exactly tells us what he did wrong, why he didn't want to do certain things. We can see in the life of Abraham and David, and we can go on. Scripture doesn't try to protect people. It said as it was. You know, it tells us a story, and then we can learn from that. Now, the first thing here, we can see that Jonah was a prophet. He was a man that spoke on behalf of God. You know, that's why it says, now the word came to Jonah. In those days, not every person, not every Israelite could just go and pray in his tent and hear God's voice. It was a whole different dispensation they lived in. And that's why a while ago, I preach a sermon called The Fullness of Time. And there's a time today where each and every one of us can preach the gospel, where we can hear God's voice, where we can read scripture, and where we can understand it. Okay? Now, the first verse we can see, Jonah the prophet, the word of the Lord came to him. In verse 1.2, or the second verse, we can see what the message was. It was go to Nineveh. Because God the Father was concerned about them. They were missing it. They were messing up. And then in verse 3, we see what Jonah did. He didn't obey. You know, I went to study it a little bit, and Nineveh is exactly in the same direction as Tarsus, or Tarsus, as we say in Afrikaans. It was like an east-west thing. Jonah tried to went as far as possible away from the thing that God asked him to do. You know, and aren't we so much similar many times? I do that, I have to say. Sometimes I miss it. Sometimes I know the still small voice says to me, lift your hands, or say this, or go and speak to that person, or whatever it might be. And then I think, where can I find the ship not to do it? You know, we do it many times ourselves. And it's something, you know, when we go from the presence of the Lord, he was fleeing. You know, then we are fleeing to a place of spiritual death. Because we can't flee from God. We're going to see it here this morning. We are so much the same, and our disobedience will try and find an excuse many times to do something, just to look busy and say, I'm doing something, and hope people will believe that the place where you are working, studying, serving, tithing, whatever it might be, that it's from God. But we can fake it, you know. We can be like a clown dressed up and trying to do something. But God will always know. He's the discerner of hearts. He will know whether you are in his will or not. And Jonah probably thought here, as he got this message from God, the word of God came to him, he probably thought that if I'm fleeing away from God's presence, maybe God will leave me alone. Or maybe he thought like, well, maybe God will choose someone else. If I can run away, get on the ship and go exactly in the opposite direction, maybe God will have grace for me and he will take person B or C and go with that person. But you see, friends, there's something here. God wants to teach Jonah something as well. He's using him, but he wants to teach him something as well. And then if you go on to verse 4, you will see, I checked a few translations, and I saw every one of them starts in verse 4 with the word but. So verse 1, we saw the word came to Jonah. Verse 2, we saw what the message was. And in verse 3, we saw what Jonah did. And then if you read on in verse 4, you will see it says, but. And there's a reason why it says, but. All the translations is almost anonymous, or at the same in agreement, and it says, but. So let's read there in Jonah 1, verse 4. It says, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. You see, God is not just going to let Jonah go. Now, I want to tell you, I believe that if God is laying something on our hearts, and there's something that He wants us to do, and we are not willing, God is not going to crush us. He's not going to break us. I think God will many times today, the era where we live in. If you don't want to stand up and do what you're called for, God is going to use someone else. But you're going to see, you're going to get swallowed up by a fish. You're going to miss something, you know. And it's really important that we can see here, it says, but, and then it gives us what happened next. And then, I guess most of us know the story about Jonah, and Scripture talks about the big fish. I don't know, probably in Sunday school it became a whale, or something big. It's not those, most of those fish that we eat that come from the coast, it's not those type of fish, no, Marius. The fish that you have at home, called the goldfish, not that type of fish. It must have been a massive, big fish. Okay? Then when we go on to verse 17, till the end of the first chapter in the book of Jonah, it says, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. It's really bad. It's really sad. And I think, however, what it must felt like being there, many times I see my kids watch DVDs, and what was the one, the past, I think it was, who of you, was it Ant Bully? Ant Bully, who of you have seen Ant Bully? Only 3 honest people. Yes, you can watch animations, it's fine, it's okay, I watch it sometimes. You know, and I saw then some of the little guys there, they're in the belly of a frog. And now you can see this picture, it doesn't look very nice. I guess it was dark, and there's certain acids and stuff. It must have hurt Jonah. And there he was praying. And he must have thought like, man, maybe if I were to do it differently, maybe life would have been better for me. You know, because we know that there where God leads, He feeds. He will provide for Jonah. Now you see, I'm not going to go into that technicality this morning, but Jonah had a few reasons why he didn't want to preach to these enemies of Israel, called the Assyrians. They were the enemies. Those guys, they weren't like us today, just the politicians making a bit of noise in the newspapers. Those guys took their swords and they made war with each other. They fought and people died. Okay, it happened today as well, but Jonah didn't want to go to those people because Jonah actually didn't want them to repent because he didn't like those people. He had a few reasons, if you go and study those 4 chapters of Jonah, why he thought, I'm not going to do this. You know, he actually thought, but God, how can you do this? How can you? Because Jonah was actually, in a sense, arm wrestling with God, and he knew that if the people were to repent, God's grace would be there for them. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, friends, and this is what I'm preaching here about this morning. If God says to you, mow your lawn, just an example, then we need to mow our lawn. If God says, listen, you need to spend more time with your kids. If you feel before you go to bed, there's something in your heart that says, be a better parent in a sense, or become a tither, or whatever it might be, you will know. Then the message here this morning is, then we don't have to think about it, then we just obey. You know, I want my boys to be at the place where I go and tell them, please fetch that thing for dad, that they will do it. Not, yes, but I'm too tired, you know. You always get, yes, I'm tired now, I'm hungry, or the shoulders, it looks like this, especially one of my boys. You know, the other one is really a servant, he loves to do stuff like that. But the other one, he's always hungry or tired, or there's a reason. But aren't we the same? Many times when God is speaking to us, and you know, God will speak to you concerning you in church before He'll speak to you about many things. Because the body is what's important to God. The body of Christ. You know, if you want to hear God's voice, talk to Him about His church or about the lost. That's the things that are really on God's heart. Yes, if you pray about and you really stand in faith, do you need to buy a car, a new one, a red one, Prisca, where's Prisca, who bought the red car? Amen. You know, God will give you peace in your heart. He will tell you many sometimes, no, don't buy the home right now. Don't do this. Do that. God will speak to us about those things. But the things that are really important to Him is the things we see in Scripture. He's got a heart for the lost. He's got a heart for His church. And He's got a heart for me and you. And He wants to speak to us. But many times we are watching the rugby or the soccer or counting our cash so loudly that we can't hear God's voice. I've been there. I've been there. And it's not a nice place. Then it's like being in the fish. And you ask yourself, how did I get to this place? But God was there. He wanted to say to you. He wanted to speak to you. But we were just turning the iPod a bit louder and to tune that sound out. Now, I never saw it before. Okay, just something else. You know, and I want to tell you, God wants to use every one of us for His glory. You know, so if we need to be obedient like Jonah was supposed to be obedient, you know, there will be glory for God. Because we will just see a bit later, I guess you know the story, how that city of Nineveh, a massive city in the terms of the Old Testament, how they repented. You know? But it took some time. Now, I want to compare chapter 3 and chapter 1 to you. Because for the first time, you know, Jonah is not one of those books. Who of you have read the book of Jonah in the past 2 months? No one. You see, Jonah is not one of those books. We always study the Gospels and the New Testament or Genesis or, you know, some of the books we maybe prefer reading. But here I had to myself go back and study the book of Jonah, and I saw a few things that I really loved. If you compare chapter 3 with chapter 1, there's an amazing parallel with one or two differences. Let me show you. Jonah 3 verse 1. I hope it's up there. It says, now, remember, this is after the whole incident with the fish, etc. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against the message that I will tell you. And then verse 3, just you read, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference between chapter 1, I'm getting now excited, chapter 1 verse 1, it says, now chapter 1 verse 1 said, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai saying, chapter 3 says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time saying, okay, in verse 2 it says, go arise to Nineveh, blah blah blah, and then in Jonah 3 verse 2 it says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call, so he's giving the same message there in verse 2, that Jonah got a while back in chapter 1 verse 2. And then the big difference. Chapter 1 verse 3 says, but then Jonah rose to flee. And then we see flee from the presence of God, etc. But now here, after Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, and he prayed. Now we see here, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. It's like, sometimes with our kids, or sometimes in our own lives, we first have to run into the wall, bump and bruise ourselves, and then we say, I bow my knee, now I will do it, Lord, what you want to do. What was the result? What was the amazing result? I want to read to you from Jonah 3, verse 4 to 8. And this is just because Jonah got it right now. He was obedient to what God Almighty told him. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Then the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. How humble is that? And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them all out of out mightily to cry out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Now, isn't this amazing? It's just a little bit of attention is given to what Jonah did. He was being obedient, preaching the message, okay? And here, from the least up till to the king even had to get this message so strongly that he made a decree and said, we will all do it. Not even the animals will touch food or drink. Because he was obedient to God's will. And so many times, we run up the stream, we try and swim up the stream, okay? It's so precious what Reinhold, one of our elders, shared this morning. You know, we can look at this new venue and we can think, oh man, there's a lot of chairs, there's a lot of work, you know? Or we can just change our hearts about serving a little bit, and then God's blessing come into it. God's favor come into it. Because we want to be obedient to where God is standing. And I believe we came through a long way to where God lead us to a new place. And we need to embrace it. It was so precious. Thursday night, the first Thursday of every month, we have a fast for the day and then pray afterwards. And I spoke to one of the ladies that were there. And she told me, but you know, first I didn't understand some of these things. But I went to God and I prayed about it. And you know, God gave me peace. He showed me that's where we should be in right now. And I want to encourage you, corporately for us as a church, and for us as individuals, that we go and do that homework, that we go back to God and say, listen, Father, please show me about this thing. Please show me about this new person in my life. Please show me about my quiet time, the decisions I'm making, or where I'm serving. And God will be faithful. He will show you. We don't have to go the whole way of the fish. To be obedient the first time. You know, now that I'm a parent, I can look back at myself growing up and to my father and the way he raised us. And in so many ways, I would do from my side things differently. Because my dad knew what was right and wrong. And we, when we were 14 and 12 and 7 and 18, we need to work out a few things. Now, just a small testimony from my side. I've got a sister who lives in South Africa. Now, I'm one of those people when the clock hits 10 o'clock at night, you know, I'm asleep. I'm not a night owl. I'm not one of those people that can party through night or study through out night or anything like that. My sister, but early morning, then I'm sharp. Then I'm ready for the new day. I don't mind standing up early. But she was exactly the opposite. She could, especially in holidays with her friends, they could go to bed at 3 o'clock or horrible times like that. I almost want to say ungodly times, but I'm not going to do that. You know? And but then the next day, she had to sleep till 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, you know? And I saw my father's heart here in my teen years. When he said, be back at 11, you know, I was back at 11. And then there was more grace. But my sister, she also had to be back at 11, say for instance. But then she came back at 1. Now, what do you think was then the whole house was on his head. There was rumors of war and wars, you know. But I got this thing right until to a place where I was in grade 12, and I asked my dad if I can, we had an old Dutton Bucky, and you know, maybe we had a braai with our friends, you know, and I asked my dad, can I take the car? I had my license, and he said yes. And I went there, and I was back at 11. Car okay, portal okay, okay. What's the result? I get the car next time. And my sister, who I love a lot, she got it wrong. So what? She had to be back at 10 o'clock next time because of being disobedient. It's just an example in our everyday life. And you know, when we click this thing between us and God, life becomes so much easier. And I'm saying it here, not because I'm getting it right all the time. I'm saying it because we should hear it, and I believe this is what God is saying to us. But it's tough. It's not easy. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Obedience comes by a few knocks. We need to learn it. But once you learn that when I have to drive 60 and I drive 60, then you see, you're not going to get one of those ugly things in the post. Or as they have these days, they've got this almost like a gate where you have to drive through and they scan your registration number. Okay? Then you don't have to stress about those things. if we stay within the rule and we're obedient to our government, to the city of Windhoek, etc., then life is good. And when we are obedient to God, it's not God that never said you're going to get your first million within 6 months' time or anything like that, when you become a Christian, you know? But it's a better place to be, to be obedient to where God prophetically wants to lead us as a church, as the bigger church, the universal church of Jesus Christ. It's so amazing how we just hear over many places, we just hear the same thing. And then for your household, for you as an individual, bow your knee. Bow your knee to God Almighty. Okay? And there will be a blessing. Here in Hebrews 11:8, we see example of Abram. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now that sounds like a contradiction. Here you've got Abram, this patriarch, okay, and he went out not knowing where he was going. You know, and when we live from a place of not knowing where we are going, it can either be a massive disaster, or if you do it by faith, because God has given you a certain word for a certain season in your life, then it will be a blessing. You will go, and like Abraham, you'll have all the offspring. You'll be blessed abundantly. Here in Acts 26:19, we see Paul, the Apostle Paul, he says, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." You see, Noah, many guys in Scripture will see that through Noah's obedience, building that ark where there was no cloud, no rain, you know, it saved him. And there was a remnant in the church since that time. A group of people that God has preserved. A group of people that always listened and obeyed. We see here the classic example standing out like a flagpole in 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. "And Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." Now this is a conversation between Samuel and Saul. Saul almost did what was asked of him, but not completely. He spared the king, instead where he had to kill all the people, all the sheep. But he wasn't 100% obedient. And especially when you're a leader, you know, many times we think, but we did a good job because we almost got it right. Always, God wants us to get it right. Okay? Because there's the blessing that Nineveh was repenting after that. Okay? And this is such a beautiful example. I can link it once again with my kids. Okay? Many times we don't want kisses and thank yous and lovey-dovey stuff from them. We just want them to obey now. Go to bed. Or leave the dog. He's going to bite you. I know better. You know? And this scripture speaks to me in this sense. You know? He said, "Oh, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." God is not into that sacrifice, giving him money or whatever. But to obey, to be obedient, and to listen than the fat of rams. Now that is supposedly something that we all want. But to listen is better. And we want to be a church, and a church full of obedient people, where God can use us because God can see our hearts, because we are obeying, because we are understanding this. In Luke 11, verse 28, "But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." It was Jesus talking, you know. So when the word of God comes to us, when God is pushing that something in you, that something where you feel that maybe you had a word this morning, just using it as an example, but maybe you are just too afraid to stand up and share it. You know, God's not going to stop loving you or blessing you. You're not going to disown yourself. But it will be so much more of a blessing when you obey to what the Father says. In Joshua 5 verse 6, we see the sad story of about the children of Israel, you know, about them walking in the desert for 40 years. Joshua 5 verse 6. "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people who were men of war, who came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. Right there from the Old Testament to the scripture that I just read before, the words of Jesus Christ. Friends, we need to get this thing. We need to understand it, that we don't walk for 40 years in the desert because we don't want to obey, or that we get thrown overboard, put a lot of people's lives in danger, and get swallowed by the whale. Rather do what the chapter 3 says. Chapter 3 said, and then, you know, Jonah was obedient, he went to Nineveh. Instead, in chapter 1, we saw Jonah try to flee as far as possible. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, do you know what dreams God has for you? I know I've got certain dreams for my children. Things that I want them to get right and things that I don't want them to do. I really wish I can be there always and save them from danger, because I've been through a few things in my life. Those of you who are parents, you will know that. We know where the pitfalls are. We know where the dark dogs of life is, and to avoid that. But we need to walk, every one of us need to walk this thing. And as I dream dreams for my kids, I believe that God the Father is dreaming dreams for us. He gave that word for the prophet Jonah. And I think God felt, but I really wish the son can go and do it. Then they, even if it was the Assyrians, the enemies of the Israelites, God heart is for those people to be saved. Even if they were, in the context of Israel, the enemies, God still loves them. Okay? And I want to ask you this question. Go home with it. Fight with God about it. Wrestle with God about it. What dreams does God have for you? Have you ever asked him, do you know God wants to do something specific through your life? Because I can tell you from Scripture today that God has got a plan for each and every one of us. Whether it's to preach to 5,000 people or make coffee on a Sunday after church, God has got a purpose for every one of us in his body. Last week, Pastor Fred, our senior pastor, were here. Many of you were here as well. And I honor Pastor Fred so much. I remember one day he was talking to us and he said, you know, he just has a function in the church in Stellenbosch. And that's a senior pastor. He's not more special than the person who's standing there at the back being an usher or doing the offering. God just chose him to do that specific job. And obviously in terms of hierarchy and authority, he is up there. But it's just a function. You know, the person doing the offering, leading the praise and worship, helping with the kiddies church, they are just as important as I'm standing here. God just chooses who must do what. And I want to ask you, do you know what dream God is dreaming for your life? Meaning that, what does he want to do through your life? Maybe you know, and maybe you've heard it and put it away there, like those files and folders, those folders deep down there in our computers that we have. Maybe it's time for you to go and ask about that dream. Or if you never, ever have figured it out, go to God and say, Lord, I'm going to live 30 or 60 or 90 years here on earth. Except for having kids, having a job, doing a few things, what purpose do you have with my life? And there's purpose for each and every one of us. I promise you that. God wants to dream dreams for all of us, and we should tune ourselves to where we can hear that. And then you know what's the wonderful thing? There's no two 12-foot angels coming standing next to us with swords and say, okay, so are you going to do it? No. God leaves it. He gives it in our hands. We need to decide what you are going to do with that. So this morning I want to ask you, what is God talking to you about? God will be talking to you about something. Can you hear what God is saying to you this morning? And the massive, the important thing, which Jonah got wrong the first time, what are you going to do about it? If you've got something burning in your heart, come and share it with me. Whether you don't like me maybe, or you don't like the church, or you got hurt in the church, or you don't like the way we do this or that, come and talk to me about it. My office is open. Send me an email. Okay? But we need to start to work with these things. If God is saying something to you and you maybe doesn't understand it completely, come speak to me or one of the elders about it and say, I've got a scripture, I've got this picture, I've got this thing that I want to, I feel God says we must have a massive alms ministry. But I don't know how to do it. Come and speak to me about it. God will put that desire in your heart for a good reason. And I can tell you this morning, I truly, truly believe that we need to be here at Seiderhof School Hall for church right now. And it's not about, it's much easier to stay where we were. But to be obedient is tough. Me and Reinhold were the only guys packing the chairs. And I'm not saying you were, I'm not saying that to make you feel bad or anything. But you know, I know we got a vision. I know we are obedient to what, where we are right now. I know that God has placed us here as a church to love the city, to pray for the city, as we sang, to reach the city, to make disciples of the city. And you know, Jonah, it says in Scripture that that city was, you almost had to walk 3 days throughout it. Now, Jonah didn't have the technology. He didn't have the Toyota 4x4 with massive speakers on and could just drive there with a mic. He had to go from place to place in that city and to preach the gospel or the good news or the message of God, you know. And we need to say, Lord, we see this thing. What are we going to do with it? And there's many times these mountains in our lives that we think, but maybe it wasn't God who said this or that because it's too tough. It's too hard. It's going to be too difficult to be obedient to this. But you know, we just need to take that first step. God's grace will kick in. God's favor will kick in. But we need to be obedient. Whether it's to just make coffee on a Sunday after church, or maybe change a whole school, or a city, or a nation. God is raising up people in these last days, you know, that can stand up and say, Lord, I've got many faults. I've got so many shortcomings. But Lord, I'll be obedient to what you are calling me. And it's important that we understand that. We mustn't be like a Jonah. And, you know, God's grace will allow us to make that mistake. But we should also learn from our mistakes. You know, that when we burn our fingers, you're not going to stand on the stove again. And spiritually, we need to learn. You know what? Because we've got a thing in churches today, you know, that when you don't like something, you just go to church B. We see it all around the world, you know. But you know what? If you don't get something right in church A, you can go to church B. But you know what? God is going to work that same thing through with you in the next church and in church C and D, etc. Till you learn it. Because churches will always be making mistakes, getting things wrong. The church are not yet perfect. But you know, God wants us to learn certain things. Amen. Can you stand with me this morning, please? As I was preaching this sermon this morning, if you were feeling in your heart that God is speaking to you, can I just ask you to close your eyes? And the reason why I'm asking that is just because that you don't have to focus on the person next to you right now. So while we are all just closing our eyes here, if you feel that God was speaking to you about obedience in your life, can you just raise your hand while all eyes are closed? I just want to see who I'm preaching to this morning. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. And I want to challenge you this morning. We're just a small amount of people. You can all open your eyes right now. I want to challenge you. Those of you who raised your hands, I want you to come and stand here next to me. Not to expose you or show you anything, but I want to pray with you this morning. But I want you first that you pray to God. Because what God would have been speaking to you this morning in your life is between you and God. It's none of my business in a sense. Okay? I'm not supposed to know everything that's happening in your life. Okay? Reinhold, if we can just get some soft music there in the background. I want to ask you, can you come and stand next to me? Because last week, I had to...